Welcome to The Detail. I'm your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Well, in this half of the show, we're going to be talking about dark money or political committee money in our city election. August 23rd is election day for the school board. It's also primary day for many races, including the City of Sarasota City Commission at large races, Sarasota County Commissioners. With me today is Susan Chapman. She has been a Sarasota City Commissioner, Code Enforcement Officer, Planning Commissioner. I don't know too many people who know more about local government than Susan Chapman. So Susan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So specifically, you know, one of the reasons I was concerned and didn't want to see city elections move to November was how, you know, in my old industry, we talk about share of voice. And in any field of where you're selling a product, when you're looking to persuade, you have a certain share of voice, right? There's a lot of noise out there in a marketplace. Well, likewise with elections, the thing about having municipal elections in the springtime is everybody's here and you really get to focus. You know, the share of voice is large. But when it's on the November ballot, it's a crowded ballot. There's a lot going on. And so the share of voice that the city election has is less. It's just, you know, our bandwidth is more narrow. And I know you shared the same concern about changing the date.
Yes.
Is that fair? Yeah. Well, we are, you know, as predicted, we are seeing now political committees active in city elections. It's pretty jaw-dropping, actually, that one of the candidates who claims to be a neighborhood advocate, who, you know, I know and like, Carl Schaffstall, he's got a rather well-funded PAC out there advocating for him. And does this surprise you at all, Susan?
Well, it disappoints me, I will say. Not surprising, but disappointing. And I'd like to go back several years from that. I chaired the committee called the Citizens' Voice. And one of the issues that we worked on was campaign finance reform for the city of Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And we said you could not get PAC donations, you could not get corporate donations, you could only get a maximum donation per election cycle of $200. So if somebody is running and has opponents, they can get $200 for the primary type election and $200 for the general election. Mm-hmm. That was set aside by Citizens United, the Supreme Court case. But
also Ron DeSantis, past legislative season preempted our city charter to have state rules apply. It's just one of the things that Tallahassee overreach, you know, has changed.
But the disappointing part is that local elections, we tried to keep them by the citizens and mm-hmm. not by big money interests.
Yeah, yeah. So I am going to share my screen so we can talk specifically about this particular PAC. And these numbers we are recording, it is August 1st. So these numbers are accurate as of August 1st. And this is the PAC. It's called Neighbors for a Better Sarasota. We've already seen some mailers from them. I'm gonna go to the bottom here because what's interesting just off the bat is that this PAC is registered with the state in Tallahassee, and we've seen Mr. Jones as a PAC manager with the Suncoast Alliance PAC that was against single member districts. So this PAC manager is a name that's cropping up now a lot in Sarasota. And as you can see on the screen, Susan, the focus of this PAC is, it says, you know, list by name, address, office sought, and party affiliation, each candidate or other individual that this committee is supporting. There's only one name. It's Carl Schaffstall, and the office sought is Sarasota City Commission. But what's unusual about this, or concerning, is that this PAC, this political committee, didn't register with the city. It registered with the state. And I'm going to pull up one more document here for you to take a look at. In the filing paperwork, where it says area, scope, and jurisdiction of the committee, it says it's a statewide committee to support statewide multi-county legislative or local offices. But of course, when it comes to the actual focus, it's only one thing. It's Carl Schaffstall's candidacy for city commission. You know, I've got my thoughts, but I'm curious, what are your thoughts about?
Well, the first thing I would like to talk about is the name of the PAC, Neighbors for a Better Sarasota. Mm-hmm. None of these people are neighbors. And so just the name is misrepresentative. It's done for a purpose of hiding donations and making it seem that it's grassroots. This William Jones is Mr. PAC in the state of Florida for negative mailings. He has been affiliated with many, many negative type mailings where the truth is optional. I'll just say that.
Yeah. So I do say, I mean, Kim Giffler, she, you know, there are some people here who are neighbors, right? Kim Giffler and I served on the city charter review board, or that just charter review committee. I know Kim. She's donated $5,000 to Neighbors for a Better Sarasota. Okay, so Ms. Giffler, Jim Bridges, who lives down the street from me, and then a man named Lauren Saslaw, $2,500, who has a city address. But to your point, the other companies, Ocean Holdings and Zota Beach Resorts. Ocean Holdings donated $20,000. This PAC has $53,500 in it. Zota Beach Resort, $10,000. So $30,000, the bulk of the funding is coming from, the point being that those are actually Mark Walsh. He is Lido Beach Resort. These are his companies, or one person who has multiple corporate entities has put at least $30,000 into this race. So, you know, I do think still your point is well taken. It's not like these are neighbors who all got together and said, oh my gosh, we want to get behind Carl. This is a handful of people.
I have to say, I disagree with you on the three names that you say are individual citizens of Sarasota. They are not associated with neighborhood interests. They're associated with development interests. They're not associated with grassroots, ordinary people. Glitterati, elitist type, associated with highly partisan elections, and are associated with development interests.
Yeah, I gotta say, so I just checked my math, 53,500 is correct. Right. I need to update this schematic. There's 5,000 from Benderson Development. Oh my gosh, how could I have made that error? Omitting, there's another 5,000 from Benderson Development, and then there's a company called Tampa Bay Pools out of Brandon, Florida. Why they care about a Sarasota race, I have no idea, but Tampa Bay Pools, and then Carl's company, Florida Play Structures, has given 1,000. So big money from a political committee, and you know, the thing that's also interesting, because you've run for office, you ran for yes. city commission, you got elected. I ran for office in 2010 for county commission as an independent. It was my clear understanding that coordination with a PAC was not permitted. Would you say, I mean, do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so here's the piece I'm looking for. Coordination with a political committee by a candidate is not permitted.
No.
What I've got on the screen now, and this was July 14th. And by the way, when you get that handbook, you have to say that you've read it, right? You have to sign a statement saying you're going to play by the rules.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So here on July 14th, now this is Mr. Schaafstahl's campaign finance reports. He's reporting an in-kind donation. Okay. So an in-kind donation is a service, and you have to put a value on the service. It's not cash. Here it's photographs. So any reasonable person looking at this would say, okay, Carl Schaafstahl's campaign accepted a $1,000 in-kind donation for photography services. From who? From Neighbors for a Better Sarasota, the political committee that he's not supposed to coordinate with.
Yes.
Is this, you know, I look at this, I'm like, I've never, ever, you know, I've looked at a lot of PACs, right?
Right.
Local, I've never seen this. And it doesn't look kosher to me. What's your take on this?
Well, campaigns have become a money free for all. And let's talk about these people that we're looking at are highly partisan people. The city elections are supposed to be nonpartisan. So mm-hmm. all of this is very disturbing, because it shows you that the people's voice is being subjugated to big money interests.
Yeah. So getting back to this, Susan, I'm going to take you further down this campaign finance report. So you've got this in-kind donation of photography services, which means to me, Carl's sitting there getting his picture taken. How could he ever reasonably deny that he didn't know that this service was being done on, you know, by a PAC for him, by a PAC dedicated to supporting him? Down this list, there's a campaign management company. Again, I've never seen this before in a local race. It's called People Who Think, out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're contributing, or they were paid by the campaign, $2,500. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, going to another, and so this is the July 15th campaign finance report. Going to another campaign finance report, the July 22nd report. So as the election gets closer, the reports are more frequent. They were 2 weeks, now they're every week. July 22nd, People Who Think, a consulting firm out of Louisiana, was paid over $17,000 by Mr. Schaafstahl's campaign. So far, for a Louisiana consulting firm, you've got 20 grand going to this firm out of state for a mailer and another services. I think it was management fee. If you look at the PAC, so that was the campaign spending. If you look at the political committee spending, there's another $22,479 that went to this Louisiana consulting firm. So you're looking, again, it's over $40,000 being spent by the campaign and by the political committee that aren't supposed to be coordinating. They're not supposed to be coordinating. Again, I'm kind of speechless. Susan, you know,
it used to be not too long ago mm-hmm. that city commission races were volunteer affairs. where you got your neighbors, your friends, the people you've worked with in the community to help you. Mm-hmm. And now this is the elections have become big money affairs. How much money is going to be spent for Carl Schaffstall? And he can say, oh, this isn't going to affect my vote. But how is he going to go back to Kim Gittler and Jim Bridges when they have a project before the city and say, you gave me all this money and I'm not going to listen to or act on what you want? Mm-hmm. That's hard to figure. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it's the whole reason we have campaign finance rules, right? To prevent an election from being bought.
Right.
And these rules are completely inadequate. And we've seen at the county level, I mean, the county commission is so bought, you know, by special interest money. The cities have been able to escape a bit. You know, I think the city of Sarasota has actually done a good job of not being beholden to big money, although it's always gonna have an impact. But with the, you know, abrogation of home rule preemption by the governor, where the campaign limits are higher and corporations can donate, that's one big change. But the lack of enforcement of any separation with political committees is another huge, huge change.
Well, if you file a Florida Elections Commission complaint, you'll find out how useless these rules are. They don't follow them, and they get away with this kind of graft in financing.
You know, they're not often filed. When they are filed, the people who are managing these PACs often act like huge victims. You know, I'm being accused of something horrible. Well, you know, this is about how you're supposed to handle these PACs. But then all I've ever seen is a slap on the wrist. I've never seen any substantive penalties.
The real issue is, in government, whom do you represent? Do you represent the people, or do you represent the big money interests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting a little further, you know, I know in some of these debates, Mr. Schaffstall is the president of the Lido Key Residents Association.
Yes.
And many listeners of the show, if you've listened for a while, know that there was a really large community effort that I helped organize. I basically led that effort, but I had a committee. You were on the committee, Susan. There were people who met regularly every week. We organized, and it was a lot of work. It took over a year. And basically, Lido Pavilion would have become a big beach bar, that destination restaurant that would have taken up all the parking. It would have interfered with turtle nesting. It would have changed the nature of Lido Key.
Correct.
And 90% of those neighbors that live there, I think it was 85 to 90% when a survey was put out, do you want this? They said no. And I wasn't going to, you know, this story has to be told. I figured, I don't know if I need to go there, but, you know, Carl Schaffstall, basically, I'm hearing, it's been reported to me, that he's claiming that he was the person who, or leading the charge to save Lido Pavilion. Not only is that not true, but, you know, Susan, you were with me at a very early organizational meeting. And I'm going to share what I recall. And Jim Lample was too. I remember you two for certain. And Carl was there. We asked Carl. He was the head of the PREP board, the Parks, Recreation, Environmental Protection Board. And he was the head of the neighborhood that was going to be really impacted by this. And very early in the meeting, just a bunch of us sitting around a kitchen table, Carl started screaming at, well, screaming's not, he was yelling that this was a done deal. He said, "It's a done deal, Kathy. It's a done deal. Forget it." And I was pretty shocked. Is that a fair recollection? What do you recall?
I would say screaming is a more appropriate word. Not only was Carl very hostile, it was very negative, the energy that he was putting off. Anybody who knows Carl personally knows he's a very, very big man, and he used his size to try to intimidate us. It was an intense meeting, but this wasn't the only intense meeting where Carl seemed to be an advocate for the bar owner, who, by the way, had a bar in Siesta Village that was always a problem in noise and in drunkenness and and all kinds of bad behaviors, and so to for the city to subsidize this development was outrageous, because Lido Key is not even the same as Siesta Key has become.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Lido Pavilion, it's got a really nice pool. It's got like a snack bar. It's very family friendly, and it was going to become like a sports bar with cabanas rented for $100 a day. It was going to be expensive for families. The beach parking would have been taken up by people going to the restaurant. But to your point, Susan, it was shocking, actually, to me. Right. And I just said, well, I don't know what I'm doing here then, Carl. Why don't I just go get my nails done? Are you serious? We know it's not a done deal. But Susan, you were at other meetings that I did not attend.
Yes.
And what did you witness at other meetings?
Well, I used to attend almost every Lido Key Residents Association meeting as an elected representative. I remember when the proposed developer came in, and it was like Carl was acting in their favor, and the neighbors were outraged. And Carl again was very hostile, very confrontational, in a very intense way. And the neighbors were highly offended. Highly offended.
Yeah. There's a way that, so, you know, during the effort, because I'd say we had about 10 core people that met weekly and planned out, you know, our efforts. And then it's ironic because Mr. Walsh, the guy who's given 30 grand to this PAC supporting Carl, he was also litigating against this beach bar. Maybe he's not aware that Carl was at least, I would play in both sides is maybe kind, because when it came to how he was with us, he was not supportive of our efforts. But when we were having training sessions at Selby Library to educate people about giving competent, substantial input, because at any land use hearing, you know, you can't just say, "I don't like it." You have to give reasons why you have to give reasons why a project actually fails to comply with the city plan, the comp plan, or code. He was kind of heckling us. Do you remember that at that meeting?
Yes, I do remember that. and one of the things about this proposed development was that children, to use the public restroom, had to walk right by the bar. And it was just so offensive in every way, the way this was allowing what was a public asset to be privatized on behalf of this hooligan type bar.
Yeah. So, you know, why are we bringing this? Why do I bring this up? Well, first of all, we've got PACs now active in city elections. That didn't used to happen. Number two, we've got a gentleman running who claims to be a neighborhood advocate that we have seen. I've seen him throw his neighborhood under the bus on one of the most important issues that came before the city about Lido Key ever since in 20 years that I've lived here. It was really shocking. Where, you know, we're just seeing changes that I think I would prefer not to have to organize to save an amenity that should never be threatened.
Right.
I got other things to do with my time. One of the reasons I do this radio show is I want a government, like you say, who does this government represent? You know? So everybody, please take a look at these mailers and question what you're being told and who's paying for the message. I don't know, Susan, do you have anything to add?
Well, the one thing that is very devious about this is on paper, it looks like Carl is a neighborhood advocate. This PAC looks like it's advocating for neighborhoods. The PAC is not representative of neighborhoods. The people giving to this PAC are not representative of neighborhood interests, which is where the people of the city of Sarasota live. In addition, Carl's resume looks like he has been a neighborhood advocate. He has been the president of the Coalition of City Neighborhoods. He's been the president of the Lido Key Residents Association. So it looks like he would be an advocate for neighborhood interests. But when push came to shove, he wasn't. And when push comes to shove, this PAC represents not the neighborhoods, but moneyed interests.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I'm just going to say I enjoyed very much my time serving with Kim Glick-Giffler. I think Jim Bridges, I like to say everyone's a nice guy, but they are developers. You've got to add $5,000 from Benderson Development into this picture. Another $5,000 from Tampa Bay Pools in Brandon and Carl's company, which is frankly another, I think, big issue. Candidates are not supposed to be giving to PACs. And you've got a company owned by Carl that gave $1,000 to Neighbors for a Better Sarasota.
Well, another thing about Benderson, mm-hmm. when Benderson had a proposed project at Beneva and Fruitville, the city attorney came before the city commission and said that their attorney was acting like a member of organized crime the way he approached us. And so it's very worrisome because that particular piece of property had potential to be a city park and is now a city park. Mm-hmm. But if the neighbors hadn't fought tooth and mm-hmm. nail to preserve that, it would have been a disaster, including a very expensive disaster, because the city would have had to pay $12 million to upgrade that intersection at Beneva and Fruitville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That, you know, so the institutional memory here is important. I think people do need to know when a neighborhood leader says they're, you know, they've got your back, but they've betrayed you rather. You know, there. You and I weren't the only witnesses in that meeting to what happened. So anyway, everyone, be aware that our city elections now, there are political committees at work. There's question about candidate coordination, and you know, it's disappointing that it's the president or former president of CCNA, the Coalition of City Neighborhood Associations. We need to clean up our act when it comes to our elections locally. Susan, thank you. I appreciate it. You've been listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. August 23rd is election day for the school board, and it is primary day for the city commissions, the county commission, our state and even national elections. So be sure to make a plan to vote on August 23rd or get your mail-in ballot in. Early voting starts on August 13th. You can go to sarasotavotes.com or votemanatee.com to check your registration, find out where your precinct is, and make your plan to vote. Thank you all so much for listening.